So, grooming shut down.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times over the course of the weekend I heard people screaming, shut it down then. Shut it down.
Yeah.
There seems to be a very significant disconnect here with regard to exactly what a shutdown means economically to the entire state. The negative impacts are essentially immediate. Joining us on the telephone right now from the Maine Centers for Economic Policy, pleased to have policy analyst Sarah Austin on the program. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
The post that you provided on the MESIP website just a couple of days ago breaks it down county by county. We're talking about millions of dollars in financial impact per day?
That's right, yes. And that analysis you're referring to is just looking at state employee salaries, and that's about $2.5 million every day that state employees don't get paid in a shutdown. And in addition to that, there's other economic impacts that aren't accounted for there, of what it looks like for a tourist state to not have state parks running or having road construction projects just stopped for days during a shutdown. So the economic impacts are definitely there and will be hard felt, especially by state employees and their families.
Sarah, how is it that a shutdown mean road construction projects, for example, grind to a halt? I would think that that would be money that's already spent, essentially. You know what I mean? I mean, how is it that that means the person who's out there with the shovel in their hands today, shutdown happens, they aren't there tomorrow?
The way the Maine Constitution works is the state has to have authority to pay employees and for projects that they're working on. So without a budget, there's nothing saying that we have any authority to spend any money past starting July 1st. So all money that goes to contractors and to employee paychecks, that cannot be transferred without a budget. So those projects, they will stop until we do get a budget enacted.
People often fail to recognize the other state services that they are, reliant upon. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles, for example. I got the question posed to me just a couple of days ago. Hey, my license actually expires in August. Should I go in early and try to get it re-upped for another 6 years? What happens if my license expires during a state shutdown? That's the sort of question people need to be asking themselves, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So that's, you know, teens getting their road test, and that's also people who are, you know, switching careers into truck driving and trying to get commercial licenses. They also won't be able to do that during a shutdown. So there are a lot of small day-to-day consequences that we don't really consider are important parts of state government and our lives that would be stopped under a shutdown.
What are the greatest concerns for the Maine Centers for Economic Policy with regard to what's not in this budget?
Well, we don't have a budget yet, but there are definitely several proposals out there, all of which have sizable concerns for us. First of all, the Democrats put up a proposal that cuts back on the Question 2 surcharge, the 3% on income over $200,000. Mm-hmm. And both of the Republican proposals have actually completely eliminated that, like the governor's budget did. So these are big concerns for us. This is the surefire way that we know we can fund schools this biennium and in the future. So when that surcharge goes away, that either gets shifted on the poor middle-income people or we don't fund schools. So just 6 months after we had a referendum passed with majority vote, people saying that they wanted to fund schools and they wanted to do it in a way that was fair, that is in jeopardy with what budget is going to pass.
We're speaking with Sarah Austin. She's a policy analyst for Maine Centers for Economic Policy. Sarah, at this point, as a constituent, what in the world can I do? I feel as though reaching out to my state lawmaker has not been terribly effective, and I really thought I was making my opinion known when I went into the polling place last November, and even those efforts, crafting law for lawmakers to enact, it seems we're being shut down in that avenue as well.
Yes. So it is a little disconcerting to see a relatively small group of lawmakers overturn the votes of 380,000 people. But there are a few things that you can do beyond just contacting your lawmaker directly. There's also letters to the editor that you can say about either contact that hasn't been returned or just your general opinion on what is actually happening in Augusta. But there's also a rally that is happening tomorrow at the State House called A Rally for the Many, that you can find that on Facebook. And that is another good way to get into the State House and have face-to-face contact with your legislator, letting them know how important having a budget that's fair is to get out of this situation that we're in right now.
Sarah, I'm sorry, what was the name of the rally again?
It's called Rally for the Many.
Okay.
And you can find that on the Working Maine website on Facebook is a good place to find that.
Excellent. We'll share information with regard to that rally on our Facebook page so people can check it out. I would urge anybody who has the opportunity to make that trip to the State House for that rally tomorrow to do so. Lawmakers need to hear from us perhaps now more than ever before. Sarah, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being available to provide us a closer look at exactly what the impact would be for average Joe or Jane, starting with the very first hours of a state government shutdown. It's much appreciated.
Thank you, John.